seat. You folks can handle one more reading transmission? Yeah? Okay. All right. Yeah, really? Okay. They come and they go. So tonight is a reading transmission, probably very little explanation, except a little bit of introduction with the biography of the illustrious Gampopa. And it will take us not that long, but a little bit of time to get through these verses. I don't want to read too fast, and I will not read too slow. So I think in order to get through that in a timely way tonight, and there's been so much today, let us begin with a very brief a taking of refuge. Let's take the refuge from the book, refuge, and bodhicitta, and the guru yoga. Okay, let's do that. Hello, Zoomers.
Namo. Darshanam Kalyam Pesan Shanam Dudin is Ola Vejam Chubar Chinla Kundula Mala Chapchi Nam Jojo Soli Dala Chapchi Arjo Kumsa Kundula Chapchi Kanye so awesome, Jela Chapchi. She was Jandra Damjola Chapchi. So he sing Jogenda La Chapchi. Trinle Nada Chokyo La Chapchi.
Namo, from now until the attainment of unsurpassed awakening. I and all other sentient beings equal to space go for refuge to the Guru, source of all blessings. We go for refuge to the Dhamma, bestower of supreme city. We go for refuge to the Dakini, dispeller of all obstacles. We go for refuge to the Buddha, the first among humans. We go for refuge to the Sublime Dharma, peaceful and free from attachment. We go for refuge to the Sangha, the supreme field of accumulation. We go for refuge to the Dharmapalas, masters of activity. Namo, from now until the attainment of unsurpassed awakening, I and all the sentient beings equal to space. Go for refuge to the Guru, the source of all blessings. We go for refuge to the Adam, bestower of supreme city. We go for refuge to the Dakini, dispeller of all obstacles. We go for refuge to the Buddha, the first among humans. We go for refuge to the Sublime Dharma, peaceful and free from attachment. We go for refuge to the Sangha, the supreme field of accumulation.
We go for refuge to the Dharmapalas, masters of activity.
Generating bodhicitta.
Kore sanchen du na dhrajin deva chodla nyam pane laga kala tanya nyam pe sanchodi chanchu ne poto jidaji daji rodru sanchen kodomanji Sange go on se de to paja de je rosa dorje nipola la me jodi rabe sambari.
May all sentient beings of samsara be free from suffering, be joyful and truly abide in supreme happiness. We generate the supreme mind impartial towards all in order to attain the heart of awakening. In order that we may fully benefit the beings of the six realms, we must attain to the stage of Buddhahood in this very lifetime. Therefore, we will be very diligent in these unsurpassed teachings, the path of the luminously clear Vajra essence. May all sentient beings of samsara be free from suffering. Be joyful and truly abide in supreme happiness. We generate the supreme mind impartial towards all in order to attain the heart of awakening. In order that we may fully benefit the beings of the six realms, we must attain to the stage of Buddhahood in this very lifetime. Therefore, we will be very diligent in these unsurpassed teachings, the path of the luminously clear Vajra essence.
Guru Yoga. Om Hum.
Ram Rekada Zinkam Su Ram Dham Kame Bodranga Ram Sa Sawe Lama La Dagi Dumwe Soda Jalu Jupa Jinji.
Om Hum. In the Buddha field of one's own originally pure awareness, in the palace of unceasing inner radiance, is one's own vibrant energy, the root guru, to whom we supplicate with a devoted mind, bless us to accomplish the rainbow body. Om Hum. In the Buddha field of one's own originally pure awareness, in the palace of unceasing inner radiance, is one's own vibrant energy, the root guru, to whom we supplicate with a devoted mind, bless us to accomplish the rainbow body.
So a brief, very brief biography of Gampopa. I'm going to leave the two wonderful short biographies here. One longer than the other, one from Wikipedia, but also one from the collection of biographies called The Treasury of Lives. And it's beautiful, it's more extensive. But Gampopa, as some of you know, we're talking about the early 12th century. Gampopa is one of the most illustrious and great masters of the of all the Tibetan schools and all of the Tibetan lineages, a great yogi and a great scholar, and so on. Gampopa means the man from Gampo, and Gampo is an area in southern Tibet. Also Gampopa, Gampo Hills, from the Gampo Hills. So often how you call somebody, you say, for instance, you could say so-and-so from Toronto, or so-and-so from Vaughan, or so-and-so from Forest Hill, or so-and-so from North York, and that would be an honorific name. He was also a doctor, so he became, at an early age, a doctor, and studied both Chinese, Indian, Tibetan medicine, and he actually became a very, very good doctor, and he also studied under a Nyingma master at the time. He also did a lot of meditation and a lot of study. Somewhere in his 20s, he, or even earlier, he married. Him and his wife had a son, and both the son and wife, who I forget the name, passed away quite early. So at the age of about 25, he took ordination in the tradition that preceded the Gelugpa tradition, the one that the Dalai Lama, he doesn't head, but he's like the head, His Holiness Dalai Lama, the preceding tradition is called the Kadampa. So he took ordination in the Kadampa tradition, and also took up quite a famous Kadampa teacher called Geshe Yontan Drag. So he received the ordination name Sonam Rinchen. And so he practiced with Geshe Lodan Sherub and for a number of years. But in his 30s, he started to get antsy, itchy, if you wish, for deeper, or maybe not even deeper, teachings for realization. And he felt, through a number of things that happened, actually just hearing the name of Milarepa, great faith, great confidence. I'm going very short, it's a short biography. Great confidence arose in Gampopa. So he went in search of Milarepa. So there's a beautiful biography of Gampopa, which I recommend reading. It's very inspiring and an extraordinary story. And when he met Milarepa, he underwent a number of tests with Milarepa, but essentially Milarepa brought him in. He knew that Gampopa would be, he foretold of Gampopa being his foremost student, according to some traditions. Other traditions will say that's not quite correct, that Rinchenpo was also his foremost student. But anyways, by most history books, Gampopa was Milarepa's foremost students. And one of the reasons being is that Gampopa brought so many traditions, was able to bring so many traditions together, not only such extraordinary attainment, but was able to take Milarepa's teachings and systematize it and bring it in together with the teachings of Atisha, of the Kadampa tradition, which was very special. So he married what was a yogi-only tradition with a monastic-only, pretty much monastic-only tradition. That was extraordinary at the time. Milarepa, under the guidance of, sorry, Gampopa, under the guidance of Milarepa, primarily learned the Vajravarahi, the Dorje Pomo meditation, of which one practice, a number of practices actually, but especially one or two, we also practice very much. And he taught Dumo, the six dharmas of Naropa, to Gampopa, especially Dumo, and the Mahamudra. So Gampopa became an extraordinary master of Mahamudra and the six dharmas of Naropa. But he also, as I said, integrated these different traditions as well. He was also the first one to write a Lamrim teaching, which joined the Kadampa traditions, the teachings of Atisha, with the Mahamudra teachings, brought them together into the first book ever written that brought kind of the what's called like a foundation teaching, a Lamrim, the gradual stages, literally the gradual stages of path. And that's called the Jewel Ornament of Liberation, of which there's a number of translations, but two major recognized, well, not recognized, but two translations that are used. And that is a teaching that is very precious and is considered precious by all schools. Gampopa is famous because he was able to create, although it was there, he systemized and developed two lines of teaching. One is called graduated Mahamudra, systematized Mahamudra into graduated steps, exact steps of realization and experience and so on, to the most amazing degree. And also what is called essence Mahamudra. So some beings, he taught gradual, step by step by step Mahamudra, and for others, he taught essence Mahamudra, which is just pointed out directly the nature of mind, just get on with it. And for others, and some, he taught both. All right. Gampopa was such an amazing teacher. He had such illustrious practitioner students that many of them became foremost teachers in their own right and form what is called the eight great schools. And for instance, the four founding schools, if you wish, the four main ones, Barun Kagyu, Pagdru, Kagyu, Karma Kagyu, and Tsalpa Kagyu, and then there's sub-branches of those as well. As many of you know, this being and others in here have practiced in the Karma Kagyu tradition for a long time, and having met His Eminence Altar Rinpoche, we do a lot of practices in the Drikun Kagyu, which came out of the Pagdru Kagyu, Pagmo Drupa, a foremost student and practitioner of Gampopa. So that's a very, very brief biography. And I will leave these out for you to peruse as well. And on to the precious garland of the sublime path. And I would prefer that you don't read it. A lot of people today are reading texts. It's not that it's secret while I'm reading, but actually it's very good to hear a transmission with your ears and feel it, as opposed to when you read it, you're also interpreting as you read it, either obviously or microscopically. And as you're reading it, you're not necessarily hearing what's said. So I would prefer reading transmissions actually generally, unless I instruct, by hearing and feeling and contemplating without reading and interpreting while it's happening. Both are valuable. Interesting enough, this text, which I only realized a little while ago, but this text is probably the first Dharma text I ever studied. I know it sounds weird, odd, but the first meditation book I ever opened in searching for what was maybe called meditation, 1972 or something like that, was the only book in our public library, which was the Evan Wentz's translation. Actually, it wasn't quite his, it's Kawi Sundup. It's actually probably in the library there, called Secret Yoga and Tibetan Doctrines. And in that, it took me a while to realize because the translation is so different, but in that was the first text I ever, in that collection, a book of collected teachings of Nyingma, Dzogchen, Kagyu transmissions, is this precious garland of the sublime path. The first English translation. So it is interesting that this is very dear to my heart. It's also a very clear translation. This translation we got permission to copy by the translator Eric Pei McClinzang. Thank you, Eric. One of the foremost translators of practice texts and so on of the Tibetan language. There is a foreword by Gampopa. So let's begin. The perfect Buddha Shakyamuni, as the loving kinsman of all sentient beings, without request works for their welfare. This sublime teacher of our aeon taught extensively on the profound and vast topics of Dharma. He acted with skillful means and immense compassion, so that all beings might attain both temporary happiness and the ultimate state of unexcelled enlightenment. The heart of these teachings originated in the noble lands of India and were transmitted to Tibet by Tilopa, to Naropa, and on to Marpa, and then Milarepa. The quintessence of Milarepa's realization, condensed into the form of oral instructions, were received by Lord Gampopa, just like a vase filled to the brim. This great master, Lord Gampopa, then formulated the teachings contained in this book in the style of practical advice for us, his followers and disciples. The precious garland, the sublime path, is, in general, a condensation of the complete key points of all the vehicles. More particularly, it contains oral instructions that can reach our very hearts and reveal our hidden faults. By personally applying these oral instructions, we can soften our rigid minds and further our experience and realization, gaining trust and sincere interest in the spiritual path of Dharma. So it's marvelous. This is an introduction by Shoki Nima Rinpoche. Lovely. He holds, you can tell when you read this introduction or his foreword, he holds this text as foremost, so important, as do I. So again, one of the texts that I would take to Treasure Island, a desert island, Treasure Island, yes, would be this text. I've read this over and over and over again. I made it a special study during a three-month retreat where I read it at least once every day, and I'd go over it during coffee. And I would sip the coffee and savor it, and I would savor the verses, slowly go through this this text and savor it once again. I'd like to thank Lo Alto Rinpoche for kindly bestowing the reading transmission. And Lo Alto Rinpoche and Rat Rinpoche were very blessed to receive the reading transmission of the entire collected works of Gampopa from the one of the people that hold that in lineage, who happened to show up in Sopema. And I know because I got an email from Rat Rinpoche one day how excited he was. Said something like, "Lama, you should be here. We're receiving the entire collected works transmission of Gampopa." It's beautiful. And one day I have an aspiration to practice, go into retreat and practice the yoga, the sadhana of Gampopa, which also has an extensive inner yoga practice, which some of us received at the Dharma Center in 1974 when His Holiness the 16th Karmapa gave the empowerment of Gampopa. And now finally also have a translated Wangkor text for that. So one of these days, it's on my list of precious things to do. So starting the text by Gampopa. Namo Aratna Guru, adorned with the pure conduct of the precious Kagyu, you help us traverse the ocean of samsara. So terrifying and difficult to cross, your stream of blessings is inexhaustibly immense as the expanse of the great ocean, and your aspirations are vast, enduring and spontaneously accomplished. All noble masters of the flawless practice lineage as Kagyu, I bow before you, be my refuge, and grant your blessings. Having cherished the spoken advice of these Kagyu masters in my heart for so long, I shall now write down these most treasured oral instructions for those who are directly or indirectly devoted to me as a precious garland or precious rosary that is the sublime path. Now, as I recite this, or I read through this, remember that Gampopa was a monk. So there are things in here that are purely monastic, that if you are a householder, or you're a yogin, a yogini or yogi of the household path, or that kind of, or nagpa, then some of these things are not necessarily appropriate, but they're very much monastic. But others are for every single practitioner. Okay, these are lists of generally 10 things to do, things not to do, and things that are sublimely great to do. Ready? First of all, the person who wishes to attain liberation and the omniscient state of Buddhahood should remember the 10 kinds of waste. This perfect human body, so difficult to find, is wasting by engaging in unvirtuous evil deeds or unvirtuous evil activity. This perfect human body, with the freedoms and riches so hard to obtain, is wasted by dying an ordinary, unspiritual person. This fleeting human life, already short in this dark age, is wasted when spent on pointless activities. Your mind, whose unconstructed nature is Dharmakaya, is wasted by sinking into the muddy swamp of samsaric delusion. The sublime master who leads you on to the path is wasted when you disassociate from him before attaining enlightenment. See? Ooh. Your vows and samayas, the ship to reach liberation, are wasted when broken through frivolous, disturbing emotions. The experience and realization discovered within yourself through the assistance of a master are wasted when allowed to dissipate in the jungle of materialistic activities. The profound oral instructions of the siddhas are wasted when bartered like merchandise to ordinary, unworthy people. So even in his time, people were giving empowerments and pith instructions for money. And some people wrote and railed against it, but it's done. All sentient beings, your own kind parents, are wasted when out of hatred you abandon and forsake them. Your youth, when your body, speech, and mind are fresh and vigorous, is wasted when spent in ordinary indifference. These were the 10 kinds of waste. Here are the 10 necessary things. You need to stay independent so as not to lose your true priorities. You need to follow the words of Sublime Master with trust and exertion. You need to decide on your master's unerring oral instructions by understanding your shortcomings and virtues through his advice. You need to assimilate the Sublime Master's realization with discriminating knowledge and persistent devotion. You need to remain untainted by faults in thought, word, and deed through being mindful, conscientious, and careful. You need to keep your resolve steady and unwavering with the armor of fortitude. You need to be unattached and free from clinging, so as to avoid letting the rope of your noose slip into the hands of others. Sorry, the rope of your nose slip into the hands of others, referring to a yak or a horse that other people take you, lead you around by the nose. You need to constantly exert yourself in gathering the two accumulations by embracing them with preliminary main, and concluding stages, that is the preliminary liberating instructions to generate merit and wisdom. You need to turn your mind towards helping other beings with loving kindness and compassion, both directly and indirectly. You need to avoid letting phenomena stray into concrete materiality by means of discriminating knowledge and understanding. These were the 10 necessary things. Here are the 10 things to which you should keep. Keep to a sublime master who is realized and compassionate. Keep to a hermitage that is remote, pleasant, and blessed. Keep to companions who have a harmonious view and conduct, and who are trustworthy. Keep moderation, remembering that too many articles to sustain life can involve unwholesome activity. Keep to the oral instructions of the lineage of accomplished masters without prejudice. That means all schools, if they're genuine oral instructions, all oral transmissions of the highest nature are pure no matter what the oral practice lineage. Keep to what is of benefit for both yourself and others with regard to material things, medicines, mantras, and the profound causation. keep to food and the path of means that is in harmony with your physical constitution. Path of means means sadhana and inner yoga practice. You have to be careful that you don't go beyond your physical constitution to damage yourself. Yeah. Keep to spiritual practices and behavior that help your experience. Keep to disciples who are worthy, trusting, and respectful. Always keep mindful and conscientious during the four daily activities of walking, standing, sitting, and lying down. Of course, everything in between. These were the 10 things to which you should keep. Here are the 10 things to be given up. It's timely. Give up no matter what, a teacher who is mixed up in the 8 worldly concerns. Give up evil companionship and supporters who harm your attitude and experience. Give up a hermitage or place of meditation that is distracting or harmful. Give up sustenance acquired through stealing, robbery, or deceit. Give up aims and activities that harm your attitude and experience. Give up food and behavior that harms your physical constitution. Give up all attachment that binds you with greed to desirable things. Give up frivolous behavior which may cause others to lose trust. Give up meaningless aims and activities while walking and sitting. Give up hiding your own faults while proclaiming those of others. These were the 10 things to be given up. Here are the 10 things not to be rejected. Don't reject compassion, since it is the basis for helping others. Don't reject experiences, since they are the natural radiance of your mind. Don't reject thoughts, since they are the play of your innate nature. Don't reject disturbing emotions, since they are the reminders of wisdom. Don't reject sense pleasures, since they are the water and fertilizer for experience and realization. Don't reject sickness and suffering, since they are your spiritual friends. Don't reject enemies and obstructions, since they are inspiration for your innate nature. Don't reject whatever comes naturally, since it's a sign of success. Don't reject any type of, quote, path of means, since it is a stepping stone for knowledge or wisdom. It means don't reject the sadhanas and don't reject the inner yoga practices. Don't reject the physical activities of a spiritual nature which you are capable of accomplishing, such as a yoga or qigong, things like that, that will bring you spiritual qualities. Don't reject the intention to help others, even if your powers are feeble. These were the 10 things not to be rejected. Here are the 10 things to be understood. Understand that outer appearances are unreal because they are mistaken. Understand that inner mind is empty because it's devoid of self-entity. Understand that thoughts are momentary because they occur due to conditions. Understand that both your physical body and your voice are impermanent because they are conditioned. Understand that the consequences of your actions are inevitable because all the pleasure and pain of sentient beings results from karma. Understand that pain is your spiritual friend, not your guru, your spiritual friend, because it is the cause of renunciation. Understand that pleasure and happiness is the demon of attachment because it's the root of samsara. Understand that many engagements are obstacles for merit because they hinder spiritual practice. Understand that enemies and obstructors are your teachers, because obstacles are inspiration for spiritual practice. Understand that everything is of equal nature, because all phenomena are ultimately devoid of self-nature. These were the 10 things to understand. Here are the 10 things to train in. Having entered the door to the Dharma, don't get involved with many mundane concerns, but train in accordance with spiritual principles. Having left your homeland behind, don't establish a new base in a foreign place, but train without attachment. Having followed a sublime master, give up conceit and train in accordance with his words. Having prepared your mind through learning and reflection, don't use it to embrace mere platitudes, like mere words, phrases, cool metaphors, ideas, this sort of thing. But train in the meaning of what you understand. When realization dawns within your mind, within your stream of being, don't let it dissipate into indifference, but train undistractedly. When practical experience has taken birth within you, don't get involved in many distractions, but keep to the training. Once you have made promises and taken vows, don't be careless in thought, word, and deed, but observe the three trainings. That's three trainings of body, speech, and mind, and the three trainings of the last night was the refuge and bodhisattva vows, the Mahayana and Vajrayana, and then the tantric samaya vows. Having formed the resolve to attain supreme enlightenment, don't pursue selfish aims, but train in doing everything for the welfare of others. Having entered the gateway to secret mantra, don't let your thoughts, words, and deeds be ordinary, but train them in being the three mandalas of body, speech, and mind, enlightened body, enlightened speech, and light mind. When young, don't roam pointlessly to many places. Instead, train with perseverance, undertaking hardship at the feet of a sublime spiritual teacher. These were the 10 things to train in. Here are the 10 things to persevere in. When a beginner, persevere in learning and reflection. When experience arises, persevere in meditation training and sadhana practice. Until you attain stability, persevere in solitude. When particularly scattered or agitated, persevere in focusing your awareness. When drowsiness and sloth predominate, persevere in refreshing your awareness. Until your mind is stable, persevere in the composure of the meditation state. Based upon the composure of the meditation state, persevere in the daily activities of post-meditation. When adversity abounds, persevere in the three types of patience. When you feel strong cravings for desirable things, persevere in decisively turning away from attachment. When your love and compassion are feeble, persevere in the training of the awakened frame of mind in bodhicitta. These were the 10 things to persevere in. Here are the 10 things to inspire yourself. Reflecting upon the difficulty of obtaining freedoms and riches, inspire yourself to adopt the sacred Dharma. Reflecting upon death and impermanence, inspire yourself to spiritual practice. Reflecting upon the inevitable consequences of karmic actions, inspire yourself to give up misdeeds and non-virtue. Reflecting upon the negative characteristics of samsara, inspire yourself to obtain liberation. Reflecting upon the sufferings of samsaric beings, inspire yourself to train in the awakened frame of mind. Reflecting upon the utterly deluded mental states of sentient beings, inspire yourself to learn and reflect. reflecting upon the difficulty of leaving behind the habitual tendencies for delusion, inspire yourself to meditation training and sadhana practice. Reflecting upon the rampant disturbing emotions in this dark age, inspire yourself to apply the antidotes. Reflecting upon the abundance of adverse conditions during this dark age, inspire yourself to be patient. Reflecting upon the ease with which one can squander away this life in distraction, diverted by one thing after another, inspire yourself to be diligent. These were the 10 things to inspire yourself. Here are the 10 ways to go astray. This is really crucial. When your trust is feeble, but your intelligence sharp, you can stray into being a propagator of platitudes. When your trust is strong, but your intelligence weak, you can stray into close-minded stubbornness. When your perseverance is great, but you lack the oral instructions, you can stray into mistakes and pitfalls. When you don't first dispel misconceptions through learning and reflection, your meditation training can stray into the perception spheres of ignorant darkness, that is, into the jhanas, into the meditative absorptions, and get caught in that. When you don't bring an authentic understanding into the realm of experience, you can stray into being an insensitive spiritual expert. When you don't train your mind in great compassion, the method aspect, your path can stray into that of the lesser vehicles. When you don't train your mind in emptiness, the knowledge aspect, whatever you do can stray into the ways of samsara. When you don't equalize the 8 worldly concerns, whatever you do can stray into embellishing worldly life. When you receive a great deal of respect from others, you can stray into ingratiating yourself with the public. When your virtues and powers are significant, but your mind is unstable, you can stray into becoming a performer of rituals for common people. These were the 10 ways to go astray. Here are the 10 things which are easily mistaken. It is possible to mistake desire for devotion. It is possible to mistake passion for loving kindness and compassion. It's possible to mistake mind-made emptiness for the intrinsic emptiness of all things. It's possible to mistake the nihilistic view for Dharma Dhatu. It is possible to mistake an experience for realization. It is possible to mistake a hypocrite for an honest person. It's possible to mistake a maniac for someone whose delusion has collapsed. The expression delusion has collapsed means full attainment, full complete realization. So it is possible to not realize you're actually in the presence of a fully awakened being and thinking they're actually a maniac. It's possible to mistake a charlatan for a siddha, for a realized being. It's possible to mistake a self-serving activity for altruism. It's possible to mistake deceit for skillful means. These were the 10 things which are easily mistaken. Here are the 10 things which are unmistaken. It is unmistaken to leave behind the life of a householder to become a homeless renunciant without any attachment whatsoever. It's unmistaken to respect a sublime master and spiritual teacher as if they were as high as the top of your own head. It is unmistaken to train yourself in the threefold combination of learning, reflection, and meditation. It is unmistaken to keep a high view while maintaining a low profile of conduct. is unmistaken to be carefree, while at the same time keeping to a strict resolve. It's unmistaken to be sharp-minded while remaining humble. It is unmistaken to be rich in oral instructions while exerting yourself in practice. It's unmistaken to have excellent experience and realization while being free from conceit and pretense. It is unmistaken to be able to live in solitude while also being able to be with others. It's unmistaken to be unbound by selfishness while being skillful in helping others. These were the 10 things which are unmistaken. Here are the 14 things which are meaningless. Like returning empty-handed from an island of precious gems, Sri Lanka, it is meaningless to ignore the sacred Dharma after having obtained a human body. Like a moth diving into a flame, it is meaningless to return to family life after having entered the gateway to the Dharma. Like dying of thirst at the shore of the ocean, it is meaningless to live near a noble Dharma master while having no trust. Like leaning an axe against a tree trunk, it is meaningless to have a spiritual practice that is not used to remedy the four roots and ego clinging. Like a sick person holding a bag of medicines, it's meaningless to have heard oral instructions and don't remedy disturbing emotions. Like a parrot reciting verses, it's meaningless to have a tongue expert in Dharma terms that are not taken to heart. Like trying to wash a sheepskin coat in plain water, it's meaningless to be generous with wealth acquired through thievery, robbery, or deception. Washing a sheepskin in water, in plain water, means you're not using soap. There's no way you're going to clean it of dirt and grease. That's what it means. Like handing a mother her child's flesh, it is meaningless to make offerings to the three jewels by hurting other sentient beings. Like a cat lying in wait for a mouse, it is meaningless to be stubbornly involved in selfish aims for this life. Like trading a wish-fulfilling jewel for a pile of ordinary gems, a load of leftover chang mash, or a single bag of sampa, a roasted barley, it is meaningless to perform ostentatious virtuous actions out of a desire for mundane praise and fame, honor and gain. Like a doctor struck by an incurable disease, it is meaningless to have studied a lot and yet remain a shallow person. Like a rich man without the keys to his treasury, it is meaningless to be learned in the oral instructions but not apply them in practice. Like the blind leading the blind, it is meaningless to teach others the significance of spiritual practice you haven't realized for yourself. Like believing brass to be gold, it is meaningless to regard an experience produced through a technique to be the supreme while neglecting the natural state. These were the 14 things which are meaningless. Here are the 18 errors of a spiritual practitioner. A spiritual practitioner is an error when he or she lives in seclusion and still strives for greatness in worldly life. A spiritual practitioner is an error when he or she leads others and still strives for selfish aims. A spiritual practitioner is an error when he or she is learned in the teachings and still doesn't shy away from committing evil deeds. A spiritual practitioner is an error when he or she has received abundant oral instructions and his or her mind still remains that of an ordinary person. A spiritual practitioner is an error when he or she keeps pure discipline and still remains full of craving. A spiritual practitioner is an error when he or she has good experience and realization and still hasn't tamed his own mind. A spiritual practitioner is an error when, having entered the gateway of the teachings, he or she still hasn't given up worldly prejudices. A spiritual practitioner is in error when, after setting aside worldly affairs and practicing the sacred Dharma, he or she is still involved in ordinary business. A spiritual practitioner is in error when he or she comprehends the meaning and still doesn't put it into practice. A spiritual practitioner is in error when he or she forms the resolve to practice and still doesn't keep to his or her seat. A spiritual practitioner is in error when he or she does nothing other than spiritual work and still doesn't behave properly. A spiritual practitioner is in error when sufficient food and clothing is naturally obtained and he or she still continues to pursue them. A spiritual practitioner is in error when he or she utilizes his powers or her powers of spiritual practice or siddhas only to assist the sick and possessed. This is considered a no-no in Vajrayana to have psychic abilities or relative psychic powers and only use it for healing, for medicinal purposes, not use it for realization of the self and others. A spiritual practitioner is in error when he or she teaches the profound instructions in order to receive food and wealth. A spiritual practitioner is in error when he or she shrewdly applauds himself and cleverly denounces others. A spiritual practitioner is in error when he or she teaches the oral instructions to others while his own mind is not in harmony with the teachings. A spiritual practitioner is in error when he or she can neither live in solitude nor get along with other people. A spiritual practitioner is in error when he or she is carried away by pleasure and also cannot endure pain. These were the 18 errors of a spiritual practitioner. Here are the 12 indispensable things. First of all, it is indispensable to possess stable trust born from sincere dread of the cycle of birth and death. It is indispensable to have a master who guides you on the path of liberation. It is indispensable to be intelligent enough to understand the meaning. It is indispensable to be diligent while wearing an armor of fortitude. It is indispensable to be insatiate in gathering the provisions of the three trainings and the two accumulations. That is the three trainings of the different vow levels and the two accumulations of merit and wisdom. It is indispensable to possess the view that realizes the basic state of things. It is indispensable to possess the meditation that leaves your attention wherever you place it. It is indispensable to possess the conduct that utilizes all activities as part of the path. It is indispensable to possess the practice that vanquishes adversity and hindrances, demonic influences and pitfalls, without letting the oral instructions remain mere words. It is indispensable to possess the deep confidence of inner peace when the time comes for body and mind to depart, that is death. It is indispensable to possess the fruition of the three kayas that are spontaneously present within yourself. These were the 12 indispensable things. Here are the 11 signs of sublime personage or sublime person. It's a sign of a sublime personage to be less envious and conceited. It's a sign of a sublime personage to have less craving and be content with just the basics of living. It's a sign of a sublime personage not to be pompous, haughty, or arrogant. It's a sign of a sublime personage to be without hypocrisy and double dealing. It's a sign of a sublime personage to examine precisely and conscientiously any course of action, then carry it out with mindfulness. It's a sign of sublime personage to be on guard concerning the karmic consequences of actions as carefully as he or she would protect his own eyes. It's a sign of sublime personage to be free from duplicity. And in keeping the vows and samaya commitments, it's a sign of sublime personage not to be prejudiced or false-hearted towards sentient beings. It's a sign of sublime personage to be forgiving and unaggressive towards those who do evil. It's a sign of a sublime personage to offer all victories to others and accept all defeats for himself or herself. It's a sign of sublime personage to differ from worldly-minded people in all thoughts and deeds. These are the 11 signs of sublime personage. Their opposites are the signs of not being a sublime personage. So he saved on some woodblock printing and cutting by saying, just do the opposite, for the opposites are not a sublime being. Page 44. Here are the 10 useless things. You have to remember, this is such pointed, direct instruction, isn't it? It's fantastic. It is useless to cater to and perform protective rituals for this illusory body, since it will most certainly perish, no matter how much trouble you take. It is useless to crave material things and be stingy with them, since the day you die, you leave poor and empty-handed, no matter how much trouble you take. It is useless to build castles and mansions, since the day you die, you leave alone, and even your corpse will be thrown out, no matter how much trouble you take. It's useless to thoughtfully bequeath things to your children and descendants, since they have no power to help you at the moment of death, not even for one instant, no matter how much trouble you take. I usually spend quite a bit of time explaining those last three in today's world. It is useless to affectionately care for friends and relatives, since the day you die, you leave alone and friendless, no matter how much trouble you take. I explain that one too. It is useless to have possessions that will surely be squandered when given to children and descendants, since they are all impermanent, no matter how much wealth you may have. It is useless to have property, dominion, and enterprises, since the day you die, you proceed aimlessly without fixed abode or dwelling, no matter how much trouble you take. It is useless to act in discord with the teaching, since spiritual practice will cause a rebirth in the lower realms, even if you've entered the gateway of Dharma. It is useless not to practice after training your mind in learning and reflection, since there is then nothing to apply at the moment of death, no matter how much Dharma you understand. It's useless to lack trust and respect, since the sublime spiritual teacher's superior qualities and blessings are not transmittable, even if you've stayed a long time near them. These were the 10 useless things. So that last reference, this is really takes a lot of explanation. That last reference is people that say, I was a student of so-and-so for 8 years or 10 years or 20 years or 30 or 40 years, and I have those qualities. Not necessarily. That's what that means. Here are the 10 ways to destroy yourself. Like an imbecile eating a strong poison, you will destroy yourself by living a family life without love. Like a madman jumping over the brink of an abyss, you destroy yourself by engaging in spiritual evil deeds. Like enjoying a poisoned meal, you destroy yourself by being a charlatan and deceiving other people. Like an infirm old lady trying to herd cattle, you destroy yourself by foolishly acting as a leader for others. That is an old lady. It means someone, an elderly man or woman, who no longer has the physical ability to herd cattle. Like a blind man roaming the northern plains, you destroy yourself by being self-serving and motivated by the 8 worldly concerns, without acting for the welfare of others with pure motivation. Like a weakling trying to carry a big load, you destroy yourself by grabbing for grandeur and unreachable feats. like losing the company of a powerful escort, like a military escort. You destroy yourself by arrogantly belittling the words of a sublime master, or the Buddha. Like a mountain deer descending into the valley, you destroy yourself by postponing your practice to rove through the towns of common people. Like a Garuda bird breaking its wings, you destroy yourself by getting carried away by distractions, instead of sustaining innate wakefulness. Like a small child trying to eat embers, as you know, embers in a fire, small child, you destroy yourself by heedlessly enjoying the funds of your master and the three jewels. These were the 10 ways to destroy yourself. Here are the 10 ways to do yourself a kindness. You do yourself a kindness by giving up the attachments and aversions of worldly life and practicing the pure Dharma. You do yourself a kindness by leaving behind married life, family, and friends, and following a sublime personage. You do yourself a kindness by giving up distractions and engaging in learning, reflection, and meditation. You do yourself a kindness by abandoning village people and neighbors and living alone in secluded places. You do yourself a kindness by cutting the ties of sense pleasures and remaining stable in non-attachment. You do yourself a kindness by being content with the bare necessities and not craving better things. You do yourself a kindness by keeping a steadfast resolve without letting yourself fall under the influence of others. You do yourself a kindness by pursuing the lasting happiness of enlightenment without regard for the temporary pleasures of this life. You do yourself a kindness by giving up the clinging to things as being real and bringing emptiness into your experience. You do yourself a kindness by exerting yourself in the two accumulations of merit and wisdom as a unity. Without giving in to ordinary thoughts, words, and deeds, these were the 10 ways to do yourself a kindness. Here are the 10 correct qualities. To trust in the consequences of karmic deeds is the correct view for the person of lesser capacity. To realize all outer and inner phenomena, to be the fourfold unity of appearance and emptiness, and awareness and emptiness, is the correct view for the person of medium capacity. To realize that the viewer, the viewed, and the realization are indivisible is the correct view for the person of highest capacity. To remain one-pointedly concentrated on the object of focus is the meditation of the person of lesser capacity. To remain the samadhi of the fourfold unity is the meditation of the person of medium capacity. To remain the state of non-focus in which the meditator, the object meditated upon, and the meditation itself are indivisible is the meditation of the person of highest capacity. To be on guard against the consequences of karmic actions is as carefully as you would protect your own eyes is the conduct of a person of lesser capacity. To act as though all phenomena are like dreams and magical illusions is the conduct of the person of medium capacity. To not do anything at all is the conduct of the person of the highest capacity. The signs of progress for people of all three capacities is that ego clinging and all disturbing emotions consistently decrease and subside. These were the 10 correct qualities. Here are the 10 delusions of a spiritual practitioner. It is extremely deluded to follow a cliché, spouting imposter, rather than attending a master who correctly practices the sacred Dharma. It is extremely deluded to pursue meaningless knowledge instead of seeking the pith instructions that are the oral transmission of accomplished masters. It's extremely deluded to struggle with endless worldly affairs as though you were going to live forever, instead of being carefree concerning the temporary events of this life. It's extremely deluded to spout the Dharma aloud in gatherings, rather than pondering its meaning in solitude. It's extremely deluded to hoard resources and possessions with avarice and deceit, rather than giving away your excess wealth and supplies as offerings and alms. It's extremely deluded to be careless and frivolous in thought, word, and deed, rather than observing your samayas and vows correctly. It's extremely deluded to let your life run out in petty pursuits, chasing this and that, rather than familiarizing yourself with realization of the natural state. It's extremely deluded to try to tame the minds of other incorrigible and childish people, rather than taming your own entrenched habit of delusion. It's extremely deluded to pursue ambitions of grandeur in this life, rather than cultivating the experience and realization you have already glimpsed. It's extremely deluded to remain fond of laziness and indolence, rather than being diligent now while all the right conditions are present. These were the delusions of a spiritual practitioner. Here are the 10 necessities. At first, you need a sincere trust that dreads birth and death, like a deer escaping captivity. Next, you need a diligence that holds no regrets, even in the face of death, like a farmer who perseveres in tilling the soil. Finally, you need the carefree frame of mind that understands there is no thing which dies, like a person who has completed a major task. At first, you need to acknowledge that you have no time to waste, like someone who has been hit in the chest by an arrow. Next, you need to meditate unwaveringly, like a mother whose only child is dying. Finally, you need to recognize that there is no thing to do, like a milkmaid, after the enemy has carried off all the cattle. At first, you need to gain certainty in the Dharma, like a starving man finds a delicious meal. Next, you need to gain certainty in your mind, like a wrestler discovering his jewel. Now, that was, pause on that. Today, that would mean something else. But then it meant wrestlers often wore a jewel in the band around their head. And so if they lost their jewel, it wouldn't be a good sign. Finally, you need to gain certainty in non-duality, like a charlatan whose falsehood is exposed, or the emperor who discovers they have no clothes. Above all, you need to resolve what alone is real, like a crow flying up from a ship. These were the 10 necessities. So this is a reference to seafarers a long time ago to see if there was land nearby, would let off a crow and see if the crow didn't come back. If the crow didn't come back, they knew there was land. If the crow came back, they knew there's no land nearby. So it's definitive. Here are the 10 unnecessary things. Once you realize that your mind is empty, you don't need to study and reflect. Once you recognize that awareness is undefiled, or is pure, you don't need to purify misdeeds. Once you abide on the true path, you don't need to gather the accumulations. Once you can sustain the innate state, you don't need to train in the path of means. You don't need to practice the inner yogas, and you really don't need to practice sadhana so much. Once you recognize that thoughts are the innate nature, you don't need to train in non-thought. Once you recognize that disturbing emotions are rootless, you don't need to apply their antidotes. Once you recognize that sights and sounds are magical illusions, you don't need to accept or reject. Once you recognize that suffering is a boon, is a gift, you don't need to strive for happiness. once you realize that your mind is non-arising or is unborn, you don't need to train in the ejection of consciousness, that is poa, for dying. When everything you do is for the welfare of others, you don't need to accomplish your own aims. You can give up your own striving or aims because you're fulfilling it. These were the 10 unnecessary things. Here are the 10 types of superiority. One human body endowed with the freedoms and riches is far superior to any number of the 6 classes of sentient beings. One spiritual person is far superior to any number of irreligious lay people. This vehicle of essential meaning is far superior to any number of path-orientated vehicles, as vehicles that only teach the path to enter the door of Dharma, that is, like meditating on tranquility for the rest of your life, or meditating in a way that is not leading to liberation. That's what he means. But he actually means more than that. He means Vajrayana, that is, the direct essence. One instant of knowledge resulting from meditation training is far superior to any amount of knowledge resulting from learning and reflection. A single moment of non-materialistic virtue is far superior to any amount of materialistic virtue. 1 second of samadhi, free from focus, free from clinging to an object of meditation, is far superior to any amount of training in samadhi with focus on an object. 1 moment of unconditioned virtue is far superior to any amount of conditioned virtue. A single instant of realization within your stream of being is far superior to any number of temporary meditation experiences. 1 moment of spontaneous action is far superior to any amount of deliberately intended positive deeds. Not to hold on to anything is far superior to any amount of material giving. These were the 10 types of superiority. Here are the 10 qualities that makes whatever you do excellent. Or leksho, or leksho. For someone whose mind has become spiritual, it is excellent, leksho, if he gives up activities, but also if he or she does not. For someone who has cut through misconceptions in his mind or her mind, it is excellent if he or she meditates, but also if he or she doesn't. For someone who has cut through attachment to sense pleasures, it's excellent if he or she acts detached, but also if he or she doesn't. For someone who has realized the innate nature and actuality, it is excellent if he or she lives in an empty cave, but also if he or she acts as a leader for many people. For someone who has recognized that appearances are magical illusion, it is excellent if he or she lives alone in retreat, but also if he or she aimlessly roams the land. For someone who has gained mastery over his or her mind, it is excellent if he or she gives up the sense pleasures, but also if he or she puts them to use. For someone who possesses the awakened mind of bodhicitta, it is excellent if he or she practices in seclusion, but also if he or she acts for the welfare of others in society. For someone whose devotion is constant, it is excellent, leksho, if he or she remains at the feet of his or her master, but also if he or she doesn't. For someone who is learned and understands the meaning, it is excellent if he or she has success, but also if he or she has obstacles. For the yogi who has attained supreme realization, it is excellent if he or she possesses the common signs of accomplishment, but also if he or she doesn't. That is, even if they don't show signs, that's fine. And some will show great signs. These were the 10 qualities that make whatever you do excellent. Here are the 10 virtues of the sacred Dharma. the 10 virtuous deeds, the 6 paramitas, all aspects of emptiness, the virtues of the factors of enlightenment, the 4 truths of noble beings, the 4 meditation states, the 4 formless states of serenity, the ripening and liberation of Mantrayana, and so forth. All these appear in this world by virtue of the sacred Dharma. Among human beings, the important and lofty royal caste, the important and lofty priestly caste, the important and lofty caste of householders, the 6 classes of gods in the desire realms, including the domains of the 4 great kings, the 17 classes of gods in the formless realms, and the 4 classes of gods in the formless realms, all these appear in this world by virtue of the sacred Dharma. The stream enterers, the once returners, the non-returners, the arahats, the pratyeka Buddhas, and the omniscient Buddhas, all these appear in the world by virtue of the sacred Dharma. The 2 form kayas, naturally, that is the Sambhogakaya and Nirmanakaya, naturally manifesting out of compassion by the power of bodhicitta, resolve and aspirations that spontaneously accomplish the welfare of beings for as long as samsara has not been emptied, all these appear by virtue of the sacred Dharma. When an abundance of necessities for sentient beings, each according to their need, appears through the power of the aspirations of the bodhisattvas, this is by virtue of the sacred Dharma. When even in the lower realms and unfree states, there is some slight temporary happiness created through the merit of wholesome, virtuous deeds, this is by virtue of the sacred Dharma. When even evil beings turn their minds towards sublime teachings, remain the family of noble beings, and become objects of respect for others, this is by virtue of the sacred Dharma. When someone who formerly has carelessly engaged in evil misdeeds, adding firewood to the flames of hell, turns his or her mind towards the sublime teachings, and connects with the happiness of the higher realms and liberation, this is by virtue of the sacred Dharma. When someone merely gains trust in, interest in, or delights in the sublime teachings, or simply wears the robes, becomes liked by everyone, and is respected, this is by virtue of the sacred Dharma. When someone gives up all possessions, attains excellence by leaving the life of a householder to be a homeless monastic, goes in hiding in remote mountain retreats, and still receives abundant means of sustenance, this is by virtue of the sacred Dharma. These are the 10 qualities that summarize the virtues of the sacred Dharma. Here are the 10 things that are merely words. Since the basic state of the ground cannot be demonstrated, ground is merely a word. Since the path is beyond journey and traveler, path is merely a word. Since the basic state is beyond viewer and something viewed, realization is merely a word. Since the innate is beyond meditator and something meditated, experience is merely a word. Since the intrinsic nature is beyond doer and deed, conduct is merely a word. Since in actuality there is no observer nor anything observed, samaya is merely a word. Since in actuality there is no gathering nor anyone to gather, the twofold accumulations is merely a word. Since in actuality there is no purifier or object purified, the twofold obscuration is merely a word. That's the emotional and knowledge obscurations. Since in actuality there is no thing to be abandoned, nor anyone to abandon it, samsara is merely a word. Since in actuality there is no attainer, nor attainment, fruition is merely a word. These were the 10 things that are merely words. Here are the 10 qualities of being spontaneously present. Here are the 10 qualities of being spontaneously present as great bliss. Since the nature of mind of all beings is Dharmakaya, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. Since the basic space of Dharma, of Dharmata, is free from the constructs of conceptual attributes, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. Since the realization of unconfined transcendence of conceptual mind is free from bias, biased through constructs, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. Since the experience of cognitive non-doing is free from the constructs of reference point, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. Since the conduct of effortless non-action is free from the constructs of accepting and rejecting, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. Since the Dharmakaya of indivisible space and wakefulness is free from the constructs of perceiver and perceived, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. I'm going to repeat that. Since the Dharmakaya of indivisible space and wakefulness is free from, that is, space and luminosity, is free from the constructs of perceiver and perceived, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. Since the Sambhogakaya of self-existing compassion is free from the constructs of birth and death, change and transmigration, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. Since the Nirmanakaya of self-manifesting compassion is free from the constructs that form dualistic experience, it is spontaneously great, spontaneously present, great bliss. Since the Dharma wheel of the teachings is free from the constructs of conceptual belief in a self, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. Since the boundless compassion activity is free from time-bound limitations and interruptions, it is spontaneously present as great bliss. These are the 10 qualities of being spontaneously present as great bliss. That is the end of the instructions. And now the colophon. This completes the precious garland of the sublime path, the compilation of the flawless oral teachings of glorious Atisha and his heart disciples, which I receive from my kind Kadampa masters. Atisha was empowered to illuminate the Buddha Dharma in this northern land of snows by his guru, endowed with unconditioned wisdom by Jetsantara and other sublime deities. This also includes a compilation of the flawless teachings with which I was accepted by Milarepa, the Lord of Yogis. Milarepa upheld the hard essence of learned and accomplished masters of both sublime beings, Naropa and Maitripa, renowned like the sun and the moon in the noble land of India and of Marpa of Lodrak. It was written down by Sonam Rinchen, the meditator of the Ni clan from southern Dakpo, who holds the treasury of the oral instructions of both Kadam and Mahamudra. Lord Gampopa, so that's the colophon written by Gampopa. Then it says, Lord Gampopa once said, quote, people in the future who trust in me and who feel sad they didn't meet me, please read the precious garland of the sublime path, the jewel ornament of liberation, and my other writings. Then it will be just like meeting me in person. Therefore, everyone who trusts in Lord Gampopa should exert themselves in propagating these teachings. Thank you. Thank you, Gampopa. And thank you, Eric Pema Kunzang, for such a beautiful translation. Very good. So somewhere, either recorded or up on the my website under audio recordings, although it may never been put up, are a number of days of teaching on this for deeper explanation. I would be very happy in the future months, future weeks, future years, to give again a detailed commentary on this, but somewhere, I guess if we ask Ludo or Cole, I think, maybe Cole, I believe that was recorded in Toronto or here, there is I've given a detailed commentary on that, so maybe someday we should put that up on the internet, if it's not up already. Idante punicamanga soakuango tu idante punicamanga soakuango tu idante punicamanga soakuango tu. By this extraordinary, powerful activity, may it lead to the cessation of suffering of all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have excellent happiness, lots of laughter from time to time, lots of joy, sympathetic joy, and may they have an abundance of good health. May all beings discover this primordial awakeness, effortless compassion, effortless samadhi of the unborn natural state, the unity of wisdom and compassion as the most glorious gift for all sentient beings. Saramangalam, Saramangalam, Saramangalam. And good night. Good night, Zoomers. I hope that medicine, which is such glorious medicine for all of us, is so deeply taken to heart. Very, very precious. Yeah. Teachings for all of us. Good night. And I'll leave these biographies, which are available online, for everybody. So see you tomorrow for... do you have the text for the Mangala Sutta? Great. The one that I usually use? It's a scan?
Yeah. Can I send it to you to confirm?
Please do. Yeah, it'd be great. There's also the Maha Mangala Sutta, and so all kinds of things out there. So, great. You know, that was the only transmission I really learned in Dharma is this one. So if you really want to know what I learned after all these years, that was it. Special transmission from Karma Tenley Rinpoche. But not much. I can read the text, but
thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.